whole tie thing going on, making me look like a, I don't know. But Trent is a great man of God, and he's got a great word on his heart, I'm sure. So come on, why don't you give him a hand as he comes up, shares the word this morning.
Thank you very much. Take a seat, everybody. So good to be in the house of God this morning. Are you excited this morning? Hope so. Hope I don't dampen that for you. I need to preface this morning with something really important. This weekend, my wife went away. She goes away once a year with her friends. And I've been coping well with my kids. I'm sure they all made it here this morning. I'll find out later. But the biggest, I feel like now is going to be my hardest moment, because my wife and I have this secret language going on whenever I speak. If you've been here before and heard me speak, you know that I get a little animated. I tend to spit. I use my hands. My hands are good for two things, like speaking and driving. That's it. And I get worked up. And my wife is a great filter. She really is. When she positions herself perfectly. And we've got a little secret language. It's not official. You know, it's not written down. I couldn't email it to you. But I know what's going on when she does certain hand movements. I'll give you a couple of the top, say, three or four pointing. Whether it's up, whether it's down, whether it's to the ear, whether it's at me, means I'm way too loud. Calm down. You're too loud. The second one is calm down. It's the bit of a stare and it's like, calm down. Just calm down. I'm usually pacing up and back, going nuts. This one, when she's there, she's like, this one is like, just move on. You've said it three times now. Move on. All right. And the one I know that this is a further conversation is the stare. Just the, it's like, do you even know what you're saying right now? I know she's going to be, she would be, that stare is the one to go, all right, I need to really make sure I know what I'm saying. Usually I don't. So she's not here. And so we need to pray that Holy Spirit, as always. Let's pray together. Lord, this morning it is all about you. It's not about us. It's not our words, Lord God, because they just fall to the ground, but they're your words that pierce to our heart, Lord God. They don't just go into our mind, but to our heart where you reside. I pray this morning for the word that is straight from the throne room into each and every heart in this place. There is no accident this morning. Each one of us are here for a purpose and a reason. And I pray, Lord God, that we are sensitive to that, to the Holy Spirit's prompting of that. We pray, Lord, that right across our not just our nation, but our world this morning, that there would be churches and individuals standing up for the true gospel and preaching it. A gospel that brings freedom, a gospel that brings salvation, transformation, restoration, and Lord God, sanctification to you. I pray, Lord, that in these times we would be as passionate and as serious about our faith than ever. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the name above all other names, the name that the authority of heaven and over everything on earth. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Fantastic. Well, this morning, we're going to need to turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. It's a bit of an intense chapter. We're going to throw it up on the screen. We're not throwing it on the screen at all. It didn't work. I have to go some old school on you right now. Romans 6. Turn with me to Romans 6. Got it? Fantastic. I'm sorry to those that haven't brought their Bible. I like to throw the scriptures up there so we can read the scriptures together. But we'll work this one out. Anyway, Romans 6, we're going to start at verse 15. Okay? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey your heart, the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. So I just want to just stop there for a minute. Clearly, the Bible is telling us we are either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. It's clear. It's not one or the other. I mean, it's one or the other. It's not both. It's not a combination. It's one or the other. We can be slaves to sin, which leads to death, or slaves to God, which leads to righteousness. Clearly, one or the other. Do we understand that this morning? As I go through this, when I talk about sin and righteousness, it's one or the other this morning. It's not both. As we keep reading, I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Let me just stop there for a minute. The Bible is now, hallelujah, Jack, you are. It's Jesus, and there's Jack. It's maybe even closer now, even a little bit closer. Awesome. Let's turn the screens. I have no idea where we're up to. The next slide, I believe. Thank you. Because of the wickedness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be a slave to righteous living, so that you will become holy. Again, there's one or the other. Give yourselves to righteousness and become holy, or give yourselves to sin, which leads to death. Please, the next one. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things that you used to do, the things that end in eternal doom. I want to stop and just say something right now as well. If you are living things and doing things in your lifestyle that you are ashamed of, be careful. If you're doing things that you can't do in a crowd, in this crowd, with our family, if you're doing things that you know down that you're ashamed and you'd never tell anyone, be very careful. Because they're the things that we're ashamed of that lead to eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And my word that's underlined after all that is but. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. It's one or the other, young person, this morning. Choose who you serve, whether it be sin, which equals death, or God, which equals righteous living. See, this power of sin, this idea of sin, is so important that we get a grab this morning. Because not only does it lead to death, let me tell you what it does. Sin leads to death with our relationship with God. The most important thing. It breaks relationship with God. See, God is light, so darkness, the things of the darkness, the things of evil cannot be together. God is truth, so lies cannot be there. God is righteousness, so sin cannot be there. Sin breaks our relationship with God. It causes it to die. But see, the wages of sin equals death. It always has been and it always will be. See, when Adam and Eve were walking with God in the garden, they were in perfect relationship with God. Guess what the wages of sin were? Death. There was no sin. It hadn't happened yet. But the wages of sin was death. Even though they were in perfect relationship with God. Then they ate the fruit. We see the result of the sin, death starts to happen. Their relationship is broken and starts to die. And their relationship with each other starts to die. Sin causes death. I want to talk to you, young person, again. Because this is what we sometimes can do. We can sometimes trick ourselves to think, if they don't know about it, then it doesn't really count. See, if no one knows what I'm doing, is it really that much of a problem? But let me tell you, sin always equals death. Whether they know about it, whether our parents know about it, whether our friends know about it or not, it equals death. The principle applies to all of our sin, whether they're out or not. And in fact, the Bible tells us, be careful, because all the hidden things will eventually be revealed. So even when we live a life of secret sin, eventually it will be exposed to the light of Jesus. And it will be revealed. So the wages of sin equals death. It's the death, the most important death of this relationship with God. It starts to crumble, and then the relationship with each other. I need you to understand that. I know it's quiet. It's okay. I'm all right with that. I know we're doing a little bit of a check. But I believe this morning we'll hit some nerves. We might get some things exposed and it might be hard, but this is the place where the healer is. This is the place where this is the time where it's okay for that to happen. The wages of sin is death. It's hard and it's messy, but it's important that we grab that before we move on. It's not one or the other. It's not one and a bit of the other. It's one or the other. See, not only is the wages of sin death, right? It is the wages of sin is death, and it's a serious problem. It's a massive problem. It's an eternal problem because our relationship with God is broken and He starts to die. So because of the massive problem, obviously we need a massive answer, a solution. When there's a tap leaking in my house, the way I fix it is turning the tap a little bit tighter. Done. Problem solved. Boom. Let's go back to sleep. Can't hear it anymore. When the leak is consistent, keeps dripping, my father-in-law is... I ring him up, and he used to be an engineer. Now he's a pastor. And I think to myself, planes, taps. Yeah, you worked on planes, used to fix planes, taps. Surely you can fix a tap. So I call him up, comes around. He does the Fijian fix. I'm joking. We're not recording this, are we? Now he does. He fixes it a little bit. He does. No, he's great. Last Christmas, we were building this outdoor pool for the kids, and we needed to put up a fence, and I cracked the water pipe in the house. It's brilliant. And in typical WOG fashion, I gaffer taped it up as much as possible. It lasted a year, and then the water bills were like, this stuff works. My grandparents' house was built on gaffer tape, electrical tape. Now, the problem was, after a year, it started to leak again, and I knew I couldn't fix it, so I called in the plumber. Got it fixed. Perfect. When there's a problem with your sewerage or the big pipes that go under the ground and all that kind of stuff, you call a whole team, a whole department, the water board, to fix it. Depending on the level of the problem will depend on the need of help. So how important is the understanding that we get that the wages of sin is death, that God Himself, I felt it coming. How important then? Where does sin sit in the scheme of things that are important to deal with when God Himself sends Jesus, who everything was created through, to deal with the problem? I believe it's one of the most important things that we need to be aware of and understand, that the wages of sin equals death, to the point that God Himself was moved to come and deal with sin. But here's the thing. I was having a conversation with our good friend Saint over here, who is now a lot smarter than me. And we're talking about this idea of being set free from sin and living a life with the empowerment of God inside of us. You've got Himself inside of us. We'll get to that in a minute. And we were talking and we were saying how, you know, we look at Christians today right across the world, and we see Christians living as a subculture in today. And what I mean is that we dress the same as everybody, we talk the same as everybody, we act the same as everybody, dare I say we think the same as everybody. But what we do is we tag on Christian at the end. Yeah, I'm a doctor, but I'm also a Christian. I'm an accountant, but I'm also a Christian. And what we have is Christianity is a subculture. We're part of it. We're there. We're not really separated because we're part of the culture, but we're a little bit different because we call ourselves Christian. But when we look through the scriptures, we're talking about it. We look through the scriptures and I said, Christianity was a counterculture. It went against everything of the culture of the day. They were noticeably different. They lived, they spoke, they acted completely different to the culture of the day. We live as a counterculture, and the Bible in 1 Corinthians talks about this. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul is talking, and he goes, I'm here to preach the gospel, and I'm not going to use fancy words. I'm obviously paraphrasing. I'm not going to use fancy words and make it sound all amazing. I'm just going to preach the news of God, and that is the message of the cross. Is foolishness to those who are dying and have death. But to us who have life, it is the empowerment of God. Christianity requires something different to happen in our life. But we seem to have this comfortable lifestyle. And not just us, I'm talking about the church around the world. We seem to just fit in. And we accept a cheap grace. Grace has been cheapened by our understanding of sin. See, sin's not such a big deal. It's not that bad. So grace is not that good. We'll get there. I'll explain it in a minute. You see, when we forget and we don't understand how serious sin is, that it leads to death, then we're not really as amazed that we have grace, because you know what? It's not that bad in the first place. And we go right back to where it all started, at the garden. They were convinced that it wasn't that bad. It's not that bad. Surely God's not going to kill you. Surely God didn't say that. Surely not. Surely it's not going to matter if you sleep with your partner before marriage. It's not that bad. Surely it doesn't matter if you start taking drugs for recreation and destroy your life. It's not that bad. Oh, people do it all the time. Some people survive. All right, some people, but they're crazy people that get caught up in all this bad stuff. But you'll be fine. You've got your head screwed on. You'll be fine. Sin's not that bad. It's okay. Use foul language with your friends, because then you're kind of like relating to them and it's cool. It's not that bad. And we live this life when we don't understand the seriousness of sin. From the beginning to the end will equal death, then we don't understand the power of grace. See, we went with the youth group of a couple of years ago to Shire for a ground soil, which is a combination of all these youth groups. And we heard the preacher Richard Wilkinson Jr. I don't know if any of you guys remember that, but Richard Wilkinson, has anyone ever heard of him? He's got this amazing testimony of being on the streets of LA, I think it is, one of the real full-on American cities. That guy's a preacher after my own heart. I think from the moment he starts speaking, he's screaming. Just screaming, going nuts. I love it. And his son came out at a groundswell a few years ago. And he was sharing this story about understanding grace. And he shared it like this, probably not word for word. But he said, you know, I got my license and we started cruising and we're cruising around. And the license allowed him to cruise with his friends and drive. He was driving around, he was doing all this stuff. And then he had an accident. And the thing was, the license was for him to drive on the roads, but it's not for him to smash. So the license is actually null and void when you smash. There's no point. You don't get a license and say, drive through the stoplight to smash. You don't do that, do you? You get a license so you can drive. He said, grace can be viewed in the same way. We don't get grace so we can sin. We just read that, actually. We get grace so that we can live. You get grace so that you can live a life fulfilling the gospel. Living a righteous life. Living a life of holiness. You don't get grace so you can go and sin. It's pretty powerful. But we need to remember that the wages of sin is death. You can't have both. It's not either or. It's one or the other. And I talked a little bit before about having God inside of us. And I want to show you why it's absolutely imperative. Like your life depends on it, that we understand the seriousness of sin equaling death and what God wants for us while he took sin away. If we can go to the next scripture, please. In 2 Peter 1. Says this, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of this glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. Just stop. To share the divine nature of God. That means that because Jesus has taken away our sins, we can share in the divine nature. God lives in us. God of the universe that holds it in the palm of his hand. The Alpha and the Omega. The name above all names lives in you. And that, I'm not trying to pick on anyone. But when we understand that the seriousness of sin equals death, then the response to the fact that Jesus takes away our sin and God can live in us would represent the same thing. Because we know we're going to die, now God lives in us. That doesn't make sense. We should be a lot more excited that we get to share in the divine nature of God, that God himself lives in us. Anyway. And escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for one another. Just before we go on, just try and keep some of those in your mind as we go to the next slide, please, Jack. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Work hard. You know, when you need to show some self-control, work hard. And it's not always easy. You know, when you need to love someone, work hard. Because sometimes it's not easy. Well, they're not all easy. We have to work hard. It doesn't just, I don't feel like it today. I didn't eat my breakfast this morning. That's kind of permission to start acting flesh. No. Work hard at those things. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A grand entrance because we work hard? Wow. But I've underlined, do these things. I want you to see something, right? In basic English, when someone says to do these things, you will get something, the opposite also is true, right? Don't do these things and you won't get something. Are we in agreement? So we are to do these things, which were the list that we talked about, which were sometimes hard to do. Not denying it, but we've got to work hard at it. We've got to do these things. And if we do them, look at this, we don't even deserve this. And you will never fall away, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let me just put it in the other way. If you don't do them, if you give up, if it's too hard and you don't try, and you don't commit to those things, then you won't. Yeah, you won't have eternal life. And you won't go to heaven into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm laying this serious foundation of the seriousness of sin because it's a serious problem. It's the understanding how much sin brings death could change your eternity. It does pick up, not yet, it gets deeper, but it will pick up, I promise, because we have hope in a Savior. I'm not going to let you leave without seeing that, all right? But we're not ready for that yet. There's still so much more. And so we see that there's this calling, this decision. It's either sin or righteousness. It's not both. It's a lifestyle, one lifestyle or another. It's not both. And it's even so amazing that when the Israelites came out of captivity, we're going to look at a scripture in a minute, their sin and their lifestyle was an example for you and I. How amazing is this? Jack, please, if we could go to the next slide. Let's read this together. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. So we're aware that when the Israelites moved out of Egypt, out of slavery, they were guided by the cloud and they had all these miraculous things that the scriptures talk about. So it's clear who we're talking about. Yes? Talking about the Israelites. Okay? All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. That rock was Christ. Remember that the Israelites coming through the wilderness drank of Christ. They tasted Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Just in that little bit, there's a little bit more, we'll get into it in a minute. Just in that little bit, we can see a group of people, a chosen people who taste of Christ and still displease God. Hang on. But grace, yeah, we'll get to that. So we can see that there is a group of people that taste of Jesus and still displease God. Please, to the next slide, Jack. These things happened as a warning to us. Wow. So that we would not crave evil things as they did, worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. These are the people, the chosen people, tasting of Jesus, the living water, still committing and doing lifestyles that caused death. Because the wages of sin equals death. It always has, and it always will. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. And then the next one, please. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. It's clear. In fact, all of the Israelites went through what they went through as an example to us that we need to flee from sin. Get it out of our life because sin equals death always. Don't have sin in your life. The scriptures tell us that even the Israelites, God's chosen people, were an example to us that even when we taste of Christ and we continue to live with these lifestyles, that we will have death. And so we've been talking about sin and breaking sin. I mean, the breaking of relationship with sin. I need to push forward. But here I love this, is that God is faithful and He will not allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. So when we're backed in a situation, when we're struggling and we're finding it hard, we can know that if we just persevere and keep working at it, like we shared before, keep trying, work hard, then we will overcome. We will overcome because we share in the divine nature of Christ. We have the empowerment of God Himself, which has conquered death itself inside of us to help us overcome the temptations of the evil of the flesh. And now I'm going to get real, full on, and serious. I'm going to do three quick scriptures. I'm going to finish it up with this amazing scripture. And these three scriptures now, they're going to get personal. I'm going to talk about lifestyle. Sin, we talked about sin. How it breaks relationship with God. The Bible clearly tells us that there is also lifestyles that cause sin, which means eternal death. So please pay attention. Let's go, Jack, one more, please. Galatians 5. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, which is a PG version of that little segment there, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. This letter is written to the church. It's not written to the people on the street. It's not written to people that have never tasted of Christ. It is written to the church. And yet, it still brings up a lifestyle that leads to damnation. And the next one, please, Jack, she's unreal. Galatians 5, but, here's this but again, it's one or the other. The lifestyle of the flesh which leads to death. Or the lifestyle of God which leads to eternal life. But the Holy Spirit is us sharing in the divine nature. The Holy Spirit lives in us now because our sins are taken away. We've talked about that we are now, because we get rid of our sin, sharing in the divine nature of God, and this is the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So remember, we either have our own desires which leads to death, or God, which leads to righteous living, which is this, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. You can do them whenever you want. You can live them in any situation at any time because God is the one inside producing them in your life. It's one or the other this morning. It's not both. It's not a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's one or the other. One leads to death, one leads to life. Jack, the next one, please. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, as a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories. I'm going to talk to the youth right now. Obscene stories, foolish talk, or coarse jokes. I'm going to say that again. Obscene stories, foolish talk, or coarse jokes, these are not for you, young person. They're not for you. The way your friends might talk in the playground is for them, not for you. The way the people talk that don't know Christ is for them, not for you. In fact, the way you talk should be foolishness. You understand what I'm saying? How hard is it to say to someone who we really do have a friendship with to say, man, I love you, I'm going to support you? Because you know what? It feels weird, doesn't it? Because the world has made it feel weird. It's foolishness. Anyway, instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Come on, I'll do one more just to make sure that we, you know, the three thing. Yep. The next one, Revelation 21. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life, Jesus. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. The victorious, the ones that have tried hard, the ones that have allowed the empowerment of God to help them overcome the world, because God lives in us and we're in His divine nature. Life, all those, oh, I've lost it. And I will be their God and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. This isn't just now one of the apostles writing it down. These are the words of God. Himself saying, write this down. The wages of sin is death. Always has been and always will be. But when we go into our next slide, and I promise to be done in the next few minutes. When we go into the next slide, we now understand, I hope you understand, a lot more when we talk about the sacrifice of Christ and the payment of sin. See, this payment of sin, this idea of sin that we've been talking about, is broken relationship with God needs fixing. Broken relationship with each other that needs fixing. Such a strong power of death that it's from the beginning to the end. And that even if we taste of Christ and continue to sin, the wages of that is still death. It's severe. It's intense. It's important that you understand what I'm talking about when we talk about sin and death. It's not just like a pot plant that dies and you replant something. It is eternal separation from God. The wages of sin will always equal death. But here we go. So I can finish up. The next, go back. Yep, 2 Corinthians 5. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has come. So when you belong to Christ, the old life, which is sin, which leads to death, is gone. And the new life has come, which is being a slave to God, which brings righteousness, which brings holy living. It's one or the other, young person, old person, middle person, I don't know. It's one or the other. We can choose to have the new life, which is of God, which leads to righteousness, or we can choose to have the old life, which leads to death. In Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. And then, please, Jack, the last scripture, last slide. And all of this is, again, this word, gift from God. Right at the start, we said, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And since then, we've read this gift from God, eternal life, a few times. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Oh, come on. God no longer counts your sin against you because of Christ. We'll finish up with that in a minute. So we can... For God was in Christ reconciling the world. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Let me finish this up. We are here with sin, all of us. In fact, the Bible says that if you say you don't sin, you're calling God a liar. We all sin. On us equals death. The wages of sin from the beginning to the end equal death. Can you just give me a minute? It's confusing. Sorry. The wages of sin equals death, and that is our result because we sin. And then Jesus came along, who never knew sin. See, remember I told you that light and darkness cannot dwell together? Doesn't work. But light and light can dwell together. Jesus is light. God is light. Perfect relationship. Jesus is righteous. God is righteous. Perfect relationship. Jesus is truth. God is truth. Perfect relationship. Jesus is life. God is life. Perfect relationship. But over here we have sin, which is death. Death and life don't work. Light and darkness doesn't work. Sin and righteousness doesn't work. Truth and lies don't work. And to break the power of sin, to restore our relationship with God, he took what belonged to Jesus, which is perfect relationship with the Father, and put it on you, and took all of your death, all of your sin, all of your brokenness, all of your failings, all of those things, and put them onto Jesus. So now you are in right relationship with God, and he had to go to the grave and conquer it because of his perfect life. And now you have perfect relationship. And the next time someone talks to you about grace, the next time someone talks to you about sin equaling death, and we can have the tendency to cheapen it by saying it's not that important, it's okay, we have to remember it was so important that God took it off you and put it on his own son. So this morning, without music, because I'll get confused, sorry, I wonder, this morning, have you had the wrong understanding of sin? Do you think it's okay to play around, to have a little bit in your life? I'm telling you this morning, sin equals death. Always has, and it always will. Our hope is that in Christ, that when we are truly in him, when we are truly in Christ, then he takes away the old and replaces it with the new. See, here's the thing, right? A lot in the Western world will preach this message of blessings and prosperity and all these amazing things which are true. But do you know what true blessing is? That you deserve death, but you get life. If you need anything else for me to say, hey, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Then you've misunderstood the power of sin and what it causes, death. You only need to know that you now are saved eternally because of Jesus, for me to say, hey, do you want Jesus? Everything else is a bonus. Everything else is his amazing love for us and grace that he would even choose to empower us, even though we fail. So this morning, all we need to understand is that Jesus saved us from our sin, which equals death, eternal death. If you're in this place and you've misunderstood sin, if you're in this place and you've been living a lifestyle that plays around with some of the things we talked about, these were not my nice ideas. These were not me going through scanning the society today and choosing the top 10 sins that I see. This is from the Word of God. And it's so important. He wrote it down so that you would have life and not death. He sent his Son so that you would have life
and not death. This morning, with every head open and every head up and every eye open, every head open. I just wrecked. All that time now has been wrecked.